When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Lumos. Hello, friends. Welcome back to Shell Cottage Radio. I'm your host and secret keeper, Ezra, a.k.a. Bill, also known as Sir Ezra the Watchful, History of Magic Professor, the Flannel Wizard, obviously. Yours truly, moi. Please welcome your lovely design witch, the fascination of this year, Triwizard Champion herself, and my wonderful co-host and yours, Lottie, a.k.a. Flar.
Hello and einen wunderschönen guten Tag. It's so good to have you back in our beautiful little cottage on the outskirts of Tinworth. Kommt rein und macht's euch gemütlich. Today we are doing something slightly different. Bill, what are we doing today?
Well, friends, guess what? So as we said a few weeks back, Lottie is away.
I'm not here.
She's not even here.
I'm an AI voice.
You may have heard
what
sounded like her voice, but that is actually a phantom, Lottie, that we have conjured, and this is really an apparition that I'm talking to. She's actually all the way over in Germany right now doing her thing. But we wanted to record some content for you guys and basically have some stuff to drop while she was gone, just as some filler stuff. And I thought, you know, what have I been working on? What's fresh in the mind? What are things that I have thoughts about that, you know, just that we could discuss? So, first up today, we might be doing a couple of these. We might be doing, like, you know, I don't know, one or two. We'll see. You're going to be gone for 3 weeks, so,
right.
So it's a significant amount of time. And it's just difficult to record a chapter over the internet. We've done it.
Yes.
Rika's like, well, wait, we've done it before. It's like, yeah, true.
That works.
But it does work. It's a lot more difficult
with time
difference.
Co-host you're working.
Yeah. And your schedule's packed over there. So yeah. This is what we're doing. But today we're going to be talking about the 9 theories behind how Dumbledore defeated Grindelwald. All right. How did he defeat him knowing that Grindelwald has the Elder Wand?
Right.
If we believe that is the case, and everyone's like, that's the big mystique, right? And when you start the series, is that Dumbledore is the greatest wizard of all time.
Right. He's like Santa Claus, but with some skills.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
yeah, he's Santa, but he's powerful. Santa is powerful. Anyway, you know what I'm saying.
I know he is.
So the idea here, yeah, again, is that he is extremely powerful. When we start the series, Voldemort, it's like, how does Voldemort actually, why is he afraid of Dumbledore? And why is it that Dumbledore is the only one that he is afraid of? Well, it's this history with Grindelwald and how he defeats him that is interesting. So before we dive into all of our theories, what we're going to do is we're actually going to play for you guys a YouTube script, okay? This is something that I read over on the YouTube page. We're going to play it for you, audio edition. You guys listen to it. It'll be basically a quick summary of each of the 9 theories. And then when we're done with that, we'll be right back here with you guys, and we are going to cover each of those, and we're going to go back and forth, kind of get a rating maybe from Lottie, like a 4 out of 5 or 9 out of 10, 5 out of 10, whatever she thinks, and to see whether or not she thinks these are likely, not likely, if there's, you know, I mean, we kind of had to scratch the bottom of the barrel to get 9, but I think we did, and I think some of them are very unique, and you guys are going to be, you're going to be intrigued by some of them, and hopefully we'll get some owls or something from folks that might agree, disagree, what have you. But yeah, let's go ahead and play that right now. Number one, the Elder Wand must be won and not stolen. This one is kind of weak, but it's possible. In acquiring the Elder Wand from Grigorovich, Grindelwald just stole it, and then he stunned the Wandmaker. This seems like a pretty cowardly way of winning the Wand of Destiny, but that's what we're told in the book. Grigorovich burst into the room, and there on the window ledge sat perched like a giant bird, a young man with golden hair. In the split second that the lantern's light illuminated him, Harry saw the delight upon his handsome face. Then the intruder shot a stunning spell from his wand and jumped neatly backward out of the window with a crow of laughter. So does stealing the wand allow you to become its master? Or do you actually have to win it in a duel or a conflict of some kind? Yes, there was a stunning spell right there at the end, but the wand was already stolen. I don't know, what do you think? Number 2, Liquid Luck versus the Elder Wand. This is one of the most overlooked magical items that could play a huge role in any duel. Now, right off the bat, I'd say that Dumbledore is not the type of character to depend upon luck. He likes to depend upon his own abilities. But it's an interesting idea. Would liquid luck help a Witcher wizard prevail in a duel, especially to a Witcher wizard who was fighting against the Elder Wand? Also, it's interesting to point out that Professor Slughorn was the current potions master during the famous duel and was great friends with Albus Dumbledore. Another important note to keep in mind is that the wand is, quote, unbeatable, but that doesn't automatically make the wizard unbeatable. As a matter of fact, every single wizard to have owned the Elder Wand is beaten at some point. So perhaps if the opposing wizard was enhanced by liquid luck, the wand might perceive that wizard to be stronger. But honestly, I'd say that the Elder Wand has way more perception than that. I have a feeling that it would be able to sense that a wizard's abilities are being enhanced or that those abilities are extra lucky. And the effects of liquid luck do eventually wear off, whereas the Elder Wand's magical prowess has never faded. But it would be super interesting to see these two powerful magical items go head to head in a friendly duel. Number 3, Dumbledore and Grindelwald still love each other. I thought I'd bring this into the conversation just because people find this relationship between Albus and Gellert fascinating. And essentially, if they both have feelings for each other during the duel, then perhaps that would negate the power advantage of the Elder Wand. But I only see that being the case if Gellert were still romantically in love with Albus. If Gellert still does have those feelings and Albus does not, then the wand would perceive Albus as the stronger wizard. Actually, even if Albus still does reciprocate those romantic feelings, then the Elder Wand would just allow both wizards to duel each other on skill alone, and then side with the winner. Unless we reverse all of that and say that the power of love is stronger than anything else, then you could say that the Elder Wand would view Albus and his understanding of love as the stronger of the two. J.K. Rowling does tell us that Gellert was a bit of a user and more fascinated by Albus rather than romantically in love with him. Number 4, Tina Goldstein is the master of the Elder Wand. The Fantastic Beasts movies give us a lot more information about the Dumbledore versus Grindelwald situation. It's a very interesting time for the wizarding world. Dumbledore is unable to move against Grindelwald, so he recruits Newt's commander, and as you know, Newt travels to America and meets his future wife, Tina Goldstein. At the end of the first movie, the Makuza have supposedly destroyed Credence Barebone, aka Aurelius Dumbledore, the Obscurial, which really upset a character called Percival Graves. Graves turns around and starts attacking the Aurors. Newt's commander uses a creature called Swooping Evil to immobilize Graves, and then Tina Goldstein quickly disarms him. During the duel, Newt gets suspicious. Percival Graves is not who we think he is, and Newt uses Revelio to reveal that Graves is actually Gellert Grindelwald. So Tina Goldstein just disarmed the master of the Elder Wand. Or did she? In the off chance that Tina did accidentally become the master of the Elder Wand, she could allow herself to be disarmed by Albus Dumbledore, which would make him the new master, or maybe later in the films, Tina ends up in another fight with Gellert and he disarms her. But I've seen a lot of folks disagree with this, because instead of using Expelliarmus to disarm Grindelwald, she uses Accio to summon the wand instead. I still think her intent was to disarm or remove the wand from his possession, but either way, this was a clever decision to make in the film, because clearly Grindelwald is defeated and captured. So if it wasn't Tina, then it was Newt. But then again, Newt wasn't using a wand. He was using a fantastic beast called the Swooping Evil. So essentially, no Witcher wizard actually disarms or beats Gellert, which is a genius way to show him beat in a duel, yet preserve his status as master of the Elder Wand. What do you think? Number 5. Ariana Dumbledore was momentarily the master of the Elder Wand. Now, this theory is a bit wild and kind of sad. As we know, Ariana died in 1899, when she was accidentally struck by a curse in a three-way duel between her older brothers and the dark wizard Gellert Grindelwald. We don't know the exact year in which Grindelwald stole the Elder Wand from Grigorovich. The wiki tells us that it's sometime between 1899 and 1926. So it is possible and even logical that Gellert acquired the wand from Grigorovich and wanted to get out of town so he wouldn't become a suspect for this missing wand. He then traveled to visit his aunt Bethilda Bagshot and met Albus Dumbledore. They spent the summer dreaming about their future and uniting the Deathly Hallows. Grindelwald would also want to visit the Peverell brothers' graves, which were in Godric's Hollow where his aunt and Albus both lived. Now, assuming that he did have mastery over the Elder Wand during this time, then we need to take a closer look at the three-way duel between Albus, Gellert, and Aberforth. What's super interesting about this duel is that Albus is not able to move against Gellert, and Gellert is not able to move against Albus because they had just made the Blood Pact together. So the real fight was going on between Aberforth and Grindelwald, and clearly Grindelwald was getting the better of Aberforth. He probably gave him a good thumping, which would make Aberforth's sister Ariana extremely upset, prompting her to intervene in the fight. It's long been rumored that she was suppressing her magic, and perhaps had developed an Obscurial, and we've seen how powerful they can be. Ariana wouldn't have good control over that side of herself, and the duel would break into complete chaos. Well, during that chaos, two things happen simultaneously. Ariana finally disarms Gellert, and Albus finally decides to intervene. By disarming Gellert, Ariana has now become the master of the Elder Wand. But somehow, Albus's curse is redirected and strikes Ariana, accidentally killing her, and making him the master of the Elder Wand. There's a lot going on during this duel, including a blood pact which made the duel even more awkward for both Albus and Gellert. I'd love to get your thoughts on this one down in the comments. Number 6, the Elder Wand betrayed Grindelwald for someone more powerful. Now this just might be the best or second best version of what actually happened. The wand chooses the wizard. According to WizardingWorld.com, the belief that the Elder Wand will automatically switch allegiances whenever the owner is disarmed is also false. The Elder Wand decides its own destiny. The article goes on to state that the Elder Wand knows no loyalty except to strength. So it's completely unsentimental. It will only go where the power is. So the Elder Wand is a good judge of power. It can sense another wizard's power level and prefers to align its loyalty with the stronger wizard. Some members of the fandom even believe that the Elder Wand might switch loyalties during a duel if the opposing wizard is strong enough. Or if the wizards are evenly matched, then the Elder Wand will allow the wizards to duke it out on skill alone and ally itself with the winner. We know that Dumbledore does end up winning the duel, and eventually the wand does choose him. Again, Dumbledore relies on his own talent. He abandoned his quest for the greater good, and stopped trying to surround himself with powerful magical items and such. Instead, he invested in his own wit and skill, and that is something that I believe the Elder Wand would admire. Number 7, the 12 uses of dragon's blood. Hear me out on this one. J.K. Rowling was once asked about the 12 uses of dragon's blood and literally said, "I have a very, very good reason for not telling you." Why would she say that? What are the three things that Dumbledore is most known for? Well, they happen to be mentioned on the back of his chocolate frog card. Number 1, the defeat of Gellert Grindelwald. Number 2, the discovery of the 12 uses of dragon's blood. And number 3, his work with famed alchemist Nicholas Flamel. I believe that Dumbledore's discovery of the 12 uses of dragon's blood helped him defeat Grindelwald. This discovery is a big deal. Dragons are the most famous magical beast in the wizarding world. And the Fantastic Beasts series was leading us right into Dumbledore versus Grindelwald in 1945. The first three Fantastic Beasts movies are all one big clue that Dumbledore values what other witches and wizards do not value. Dumbledore and Newt Scamander are ahead of their time. Keep in mind that Newt also worked with the Ukrainian Iron Bellies unit during World War I. He literally worked in the Dragon Research and Restraint Bureau at the Ministry of Magic. Now, the events in the Muggle world are often paralleled in the Wizarding world. In the Muggle world, there were secret projects like the Manhattan Project, which was developing an atomic weapon that ended World War II in 1945. Dumbledore versus Grindelwald is the symbolic final battle that will end the Second Great War in the Wizarding world. And I believe that understanding the 12 uses of dragon's blood was a top secret priority for Albus, Newt, and others. Newt Scamander was sent to America for multiple reasons. One of those reasons was to get a better understanding of the American horned serpent. Shavings from its horn could be used in wand cores, and certain American species also sported a jewel in the forehead. This jewel was said to grant powers of invisibility and flight, thus making it the most sought-after element of the species. Remember in Sorcerer's Stone when Dumbledore said that he doesn't need a cloak to become invisible? He's probably referring to a good old-fashioned disillusionment charm. But now, think about how intimately Dumbledore worked on discovering the uses of dragon's blood and their special properties. So in my opinion, one or more of the 12 uses of dragon's blood were either used in the duel versus Grindelwald, or Grindelwald was getting desperate, as we clearly see at the end of the third Fantastic Beasts movie, and he tried to discover and acquire this top secret knowledge and use it for evil. It's my theory that Albus knew that one or two of the uses or powers associated with dragon's blood was so immense that it would be catastrophic if it fell into the wrong hands. Therefore, Albus chose to face Gellert in order to keep him from acquiring this terrible power that Albus himself had discovered. What do you think? Number 8, the lie and the surrender. Now we have to bring this one up because sometimes this individual tells the truth. In her book, The Life and Lies of Albus Dumbledore, Rita Skeeter says something very interesting that pertains to my previous theory and something that pertains to my final theory. Rita acknowledges that Dumbledore had brains, but then goes on to question whether he could really take full credit for all of his supposed achievements. This is super interesting. Dumbledore is unorthodox in his decision making. I don't believe that he took credit for someone else's work. I do believe that it's possible that we don't have all of the details, and Dumbledore might be leaving those details out on purpose to protect his friends or even his country. For example, Rita notes that Ivor Dillonsby claims that he had already discovered 8 uses of the dragon's blood when Dumbledore borrowed his papers. Now, in my previous theory, I compared the top secret research of dragon's blood to something akin to the Manhattan Project in the Muggle world. Lots of information was trading hands and numerous individuals were working together to discover the secrets of atomic power. Dragons represent the most powerful magical beast in the wizarding world. So I bet there was a lot of secrecy around this research, which leads us to Rita's next claim. Here she pretty much mocks Dumbledore's duel with Grindelwald and seems to theorize that the duel was not as spectacular as we might have been led to believe. She says, quote, "After they've read my book, people may be forced to conclude that Grindelwald simply conjured his white handkerchief from the end of his wand and came quietly." So here Rita is saying that Grindelwald just surrendered. Now that's a pretty bold claim and she must have had more information to back that up. We as Muggle readers never get to read that particular chapter. So what would cause Gellert to just surrender? Number 9, an unexpected intervention. Let me start this one off by asking, how was Voldemort ultimately defeated? We start the series by thinking that Harry Potter is our main character. He's the chosen one. Dumbledore is going to teach and train Harry Potter until he's a dark wizard killing machine. But ultimately, that's not what happens. Actually, it's love and compassion that help Harry prevail against the Dark Lord. The same thing happens in Star Wars during Return of the Jedi. It happens in The Hobbit and The Lord of the Rings. For example, Lady Galadriel asks Gandalf, why the halfling? Why Bilbo? To which Gandalf answers that Saruman believes it is only great power that can hold evil in check. But that is not what I have found. I have found it is the small things, everyday deeds of ordinary folk that keeps the darkness at bay. I believe Dumbledore learns something very valuable during his conflict with Grindelwald. He learns more about himself. He learns to trust his friends more. He learns exactly what Gandalf has learned, and what all great guide-by-the-side characters know. It truly is the small things, everyday deeds of ordinary folk, love and self-sacrifice that keep the darkness at bay. So all this time, we've assumed that the duel between Grindelwald and Dumbledore is power on power. These two wizards just duke it out. And as I said at the start of the video, that would be amazing. But here's where I'd like to suggest that perhaps there is an unexpected intervention. Someone who loved and respected Dumbledore intervened in an unexpected way that affected the outcome of this duel. And that someone is Rubeus Hagrid. And here's the evidence for it. In the very first chapter of the very first book, Dumbledore says, "Hagrid's bringing him." To which McGonagall replies, "You think it wise to trust Hagrid with something as important as this?" Dumbledore answered, "I would trust Hagrid with my life." Now, why would Dumbledore trust Hagrid with his life? What has Hagrid done for Dumbledore that would cause him to say that? That's actually a pretty huge statement. I would argue it's because Hagrid has already attempted to lay down his life for Professor Dumbledore. Hagrid has unwavering loyalty to Dumbledore, and he's had that level of love and loyalty since the year 1943, when Hagrid was expelled from Hogwarts. That's 2 years prior to the famous duel. Who was the only person to stick up for Hagrid? Dumbledore. Dumbledore literally looked out for Hagrid when no one else would. In fact, he's always had a soft spot for outcasts. He helped Newt Scamander when he was expelled. He helped Hagrid when he was expelled. And he created a way for Remus Lupin to attend Hogwarts after he was bitten by a werewolf. And all three of those individuals had love, respect, and loyalty for Albus Dumbledore. Now, an interesting connection to theories number 7 and number 8 is that Hagrid loves dragons. He loves fantastic beasts. I believe Hagrid was expelled in 1943 and started his training as a gamekeeper for Hogwarts, which introduced him to Newt Scamander, who was at the time working with Dumbledore on the 12 uses of dragon's blood. Both Newt and Hagrid are expelled and they both love magical creatures. And I believe Hagrid wanted to help Dumbledore defeat Grindelwald in any way he could. Now, I've yet to detail a play-by-play on how this went down, but in some fashion, Hagrid risked his life for Dumbledore. The fact that Hagrid is a half-giant and has spell-resistant giant's blood would mean that he could cast himself between the two great wizards, perhaps actually meaning to give his life for Dumbledore. As we know from the Harry Potter series, that would invoke an ancient magic that would cast a layer of protection over Dumbledore. Harry Potter didn't die in the Forbidden Forest, but he meant to. And that's what made the difference. That's what literally gave all of his friends at Hogwarts a layer of protection against Voldemort. Once this sacrificial magic protection is on Dumbledore, then the spell work from Grindelwald just wouldn't stick. He might even realize it's all over and just surrender as Rita Skeeter suggested. Or this just allows Dumbledore to easily take him into custody. Now, obviously, this is all just wild theory and speculation. And perhaps the Grindelwald versus Dumbledore duel is too big of a moment for Hagrid to make that sacrifice. But I bet somewhere along the line, Hagrid did risk his life for Dumbledore. And I'd love to get that story someday. So what do you think? Which of these ideas or theories do you think would be most likely? Or give me your take on how Dumbledore overcame Grindelwald and the Outer Wand. All right, so there you go. That was all 9 theories. Just a quick breakdown, a summary of those. We're going to kind of go point by point, talk about them, rate them, give you a little extra commentary on those. But number one, the Elder Wand must be won and not stolen. And I always thought this was kind of interesting because over the history of the Elder Wand and, you know, it's how it's been passed from hand to hand, it's like, could you just go up into a shop and pick it up and walk out of the shop and say, all right, Elder Wand is mine now. Here we go, buddy.
Yeah.
And you're off and running because Voldemort actually has the very like an issue with that. It's allegiance. So Dumbledore
has not changed, yeah.
Yeah, he walks in. He takes it from Dumbledore's grave, just walks in and steals it from the grave and thinks, haha, it's all mine. And it, you know, we know that its allegiance had changed, and so he was stealing it from Dumbledore, but did he need to steal it from somebody else if it was in their possession? The Grigorovitch thing is weird, because the Elder Wand is there, and Grindelwald just steals it. Now, it does seem like a little bit of a confrontation broke out, and he's jumping out the window, and he does stun the Wandmaker. So it did feel like that person who possessed it was actually actively trying to stop him from gaining it. But it still kind of feels like he just stole it. You know what I'm saying? So Thoughts on that.
So you said it's kind of, air quote, weak. But I think that you actually gave yourself the answer there. This could be it. You could be onto something because, like you said, Voldemort wasn't able to just grab it and be the master of the Elder Wand. Neither was, you said, Newt. We saw Newt.
Yeah, Newt and
attack
Tina.
Attack.
Yeah.
If Grindelwald was the master of the Elder Wand in the first place, they didn't necessarily acquire the Elder Wand by defeating him, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So even if he was the master of the Elder Wand, would that mean they weren't, or one of them? I don't know.
I think
Tina was the more likely one.
Yeah.
be the master, but she wouldn't be. And like you said, we don't know. Do we know how Grigorovitch got the wand?
No, we don't really know. We just know that...
because what if he wasn't the master of the Elder Wand, but somebody just gave it to him after...
Could be. Could be,
know,
right? We don't know.
Somebody passed away.
We assume...
Who was the master?
We assume because the context in the story is that Dumbledore beat Grindelwald, and Grindelwald was the master of the Elder Wand. And so you're like, okay, well then, when did he... He clearly stole it from Grigorovitch, so he must have won... He must have won it there. And I think that's... Like, if he doesn't win it there... Then when does he win it? You know what I mean? It's either he believed this whole time that he was the master and he truly wasn't, or he wins it and something else happens along the way. So I put it as number one because I think it's likely that he actually truly did win this.
Yeah.
And one of the things that like a later theory will kind of say that the Elder Wand, it aligns with power. And so sometimes it's actually not entirely... There's not like just one even black and white rule as to how it can be won necessarily. Mm. So, yeah,
no,
we'll get to that later. But this,
we know
this
it
one
can
is...
be won through disarming. That's the most direct way of stealing the wand by disarming. So that means you're stronger, air quote, probably than the previous owner.
Yeah.
Or you could just kill somebody, but they don't have to hold. They don't even have to hold, I think, the Elder Wand in that moment. Right.
No. Exactly. Yeah.
And same, like you said, it could be the same with a stunning spell.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
if you just do the stunning spell, you already have the wand, but you stunned that previous master.
Right.
That
therefore,
allegiance.
That
could
that,
be.
Yeah, that was him defeating him. I guess right was the idea. He cast the stunning spell right there at the end. Now, remember, in the whole context of this conversation, this is a conversation about how did Dumbledore defeat Grindelwald?
Yeah.
And so, point number one is just to say that well, maybe one of the reasons is that like we give. We feel like the scales are tipped towards Grindelwald being, super powerful. We know that Dumbledore does beat him.
Yeah.
But during that time, he was one of the most feared, most powerful wizards no, Dumbledore had yet to prove himself against him. So they were wanting their best wizard. We need you, Albus Dumbledore, to face him. We know the blood pack is a big issue, whatnot. But he, when he does go to move against him, it's not sure. We all know, we have this sort of like dramatic irony in terms of being an audience member who knows the outcome of the duel. So
right.
We're all like, okay, there has to be something intriguing about it. Or is it just that we're just going to watch some big power play later on? When they finally do show us the duel, like, what's it going to be like? Like, how does he overcome, what's the creative or clever way or whatever that Dumbledore overpowers Grindelwald? And he's the master of the Elder Wand. Because it's not like this is just some slouch who has the Elder Wand. I mean, this is actually one of the most powerful individuals.
Yeah.
And I don't even think that you could clearly say that Dumbledore is so much significantly more powerful that the Elder Wand is like, you know what, I'm going to choose Dumbledore. Like,
yeah.
It's not that obvious. And so this is kind of tricky. And it's been, you know, it's why we make the video. It's why people talk about it. And it's interesting. And again, going back to the idea, moving on to point number two. The idea here that, well, I want to get you on record, okay?
Mm-hmm.
What do you think in terms of like an idea or like a theory or an idea here that might be one of the reasons why Dumbledore is able to defeat Grindelwald? Like out of five or out of 10, like how likely do you think that this is going to play a factor? This theory will play a factor into Dumbledore defeating Grindelwald. Is it super likely, 9 out of 10? Or is it like, it could, 5 out of 10? Or mm-hmm. very less likely, more like 3, 2 out of 10? What do you think?
Oh, you mean the number 2?
No, number 1.
Oh, number 1.
Because for me, I'll go ahead and say, so Elder Wand must be won and not stolen. And this whole Grigorovich bit, for me, I put it at number 1 because it's sort of like a 4 out of 10 for me.
Okay.
Because I don't think it's going to play a huge factor into how Dumbledore defeated Grindelwald. It would be very kind of anticlimactic if all of a sudden they were like, hey, you know, remember that time years ago when you stole the wand from Grigorovich? Well, guess what?
Yeah.
He's still the master of the Elder Wand, and I went to his house and I disarmed him. You little... And Dumbledore
well, that's
like,
kind
gotcha.
Of how Harry did it, though.
I know. Yeah. That's why it's actually an idea. So I just think it's less likely going to be the case when we actually get the answers to how he did defeat Grindelwald.
I'll give it a solid 5 out of 10.
All right, 5 out of 10. Here we go. Okay, now moving on. Number 2, Liquid Luck versus the Elder Wand. I think this one, as I said, I think it's fascinating. I'd love to say it's like a 7 out of 10, likely to happen. Dumbledore is like, you know what? He's not going to expect this. He's going to expect me to beat him on skill alone. I want to just suck down some Liquid Luck, and I'm going to go in there and get a little lucky advantage.
Yeah.
I'm joking. I really don't think that's very likely. I think it's fascinating to kind of consider, though, like, could Slughorn have dueled Grindelwald on some Liquid Luck and been, like, extra lucky that day and have beat him? Would the Elder Wand allow that to happen?
I think the Elder Wand would... Detect it.
Yeah.
Someone who
it's more
has
intelligent.
Liquid Luck in their blood right now.
Yeah. So I think it's a fascinating one. It's one of those. It's why it's in the beginning here. It's probably a 4 out of 10 in terms of its likelihood. So, you know, what do you think?
I agree.
Four out of ten.
Three out of ten. Just
two.
To go. Yeah, I don't think that's very likely at all because it's just not Dumbledore's style.
No, not his style.
To depend on.
Yeah, not
Liquid
his style.
Luck. Yeah.
But I like the idea of pitting some of these magical items versus other items, if that makes sense. Like when we played Hogwarts Legacy, it was like, wow, okay, hold on. This wizard might be more powerful than me, but if I'm enhanced by some potion that hardens my skin, it makes me more difficult to attack. Whoa, okay, that kind of affects the duel.
It almost makes you wonder why people don't use that more. If you think about video games, right? How many potions do we have to enhance our skills? But they're never really talked about in the wizarding world. Like, there's no Death Eaters grabbing their little flask of potion in there to enhance their skills to, you know, be better. And they're all adult wizards, so like,
yeah.
I don't know.
What if there was, though, like some like way back in history in like the 1500s or something, there was a wizard who had this dark cloak and he opened it and there's all these different like vials of like potions and he's just like sucking them down.
I mean, honestly,
15 different potions going up against all these other wizards.
It's
crazy.
It's so cool. You know how Newt Scamander fights a lot with his beasts?
Yes.
Like includes them?
It's a different style.
He's good at magic, but he also includes them and knows their properties and knows what they can do.
Right.
And I think we need a potioneer.
Yeah.
Like that.
Well, it'd be like, could you mix certain potions, right? Could you be on Liquid Luck and on something else at the same time, right? So, anyway, okay, moving on here. Number 3, so Dumbledore and Grindelwald still love each other. this comes up because people are fascinated by this idea of love and the power of love. And we know that Lily Potter's sacrifice was a big deal, right? That she cast this ancient love protection over her son. We know Harry does that in the Forbidden Forest for his friends. We know that that Voldemort essentially does not understand love. And so therefore, this is why Dumbledore and Harry are able to kind of outmaneuver one of the greatest Dark Lords of all time, Voldemort. And in this situation, it's almost like, does the Elder Wand, so the idea behind this, when they're dueling, when the Elder Wand, would it ever switch its allegiance, or would it just sort of step aside and let them duke it out? Like, does it see Dumbledore as more powerful because he has more love, because he is more capable of love, or he has a better understanding of it? Like, would it sense him as more powerful? Or would, if Gellert still does love Dumbledore, like, does it affect it at all? Does their love or their feelings for each other affect the allegiance of the Elder Wand or even the duel itself at all? What do you think? I mean, I don't know.
I don't think so.
Okay.
There. Straight up. No, I don't think so. Because then...
I love this German side of you. You're just... Mm.
Well, because then... Yeah, I mean, in the history, it's always been the big question, why does the Elder Wand change allegiances at all? Because aren't you supposed to be invincible holding the Elder Wand, right?
Right.
Like, how come people can get the Elder Wand if you're invincible?
Yeah, so,
but
I mean...
I don't think love plays a role in that. Like, I don't think the Elder Wand perceives Dumbledore as more powerful just because of that one trait, if he even...
Question. If Gellert is facing down Albus and he still loves him and he doesn't truly want to defeat him, maybe he doesn't want to kill him and he holds back because of his love, would that affect the duel, do you think? Do you think that it affects it at all, their feelings for each other? Do you think they set those aside entirely, or do you think that their feelings play a factor in the duel?
I think so, too. We saw that in the duel when they were at... Oh, what was the place called where they had
the chillin' ceremony? Yeah,
it was in the mountains of...
Don't know, but they have a great duel there. You're right, and it's where they pick the next.
Where they pick the next supreme mugwump.
Right, exactly, and it's by the way, did you guys see that veteran move right there? Lottie almost caused it. She almost took us into an editing situation, and I love. I'm gonna divert us from those situations. I don't know what it's called. I don't know. Remember the name of it. But it is you're right, that they did seem to affected the fact that there's a blood pack,
right,
and that it broke there, and that they did sort of duel in an alternate universe where nobody else could really see the duel happen.
Well, and then Gellert's last words were, who will love you now, right, Dumbledore?
Yeah, and again, they're trying to use this relationship, I think, to affect one another.
Yeah, so it does play a role.
It will play a role, but will it play a role with the Elder Wand? We think less likely. But it could, though, if their decisions are... The reason it's even in here is if all of a sudden, like, love sort of stays your hand from casting Avada Kedavra, right, against Dumbledore, and you don't go that far, and he leaves himself open for it, and you don't use it, well, then the Elder Wand might say, I don't know, man. Yeah, you should have struck right there, dude. Like, I'm out, dude. I'm done. If you can't... Because if you can't finish him in a different way, if you can't win the duel in a different... manner and still show your power, it might say, well, you know, hey, I mean, I don't know. It's a confusing one, just the idea that there's some love. And this is other content creators, by the way, have referenced this as well. It could play some factor in the duel. Not really sure how it plays into the allegiance of the Elder Wand, though. Yes.
You know, it's almost like, I just had a thought. It's almost like the Elder Wand isn't really a powerful wand at all. It's just using the most powerful wizards to be this great wand, but doesn't even it will take your allegiance if you're more powerful. So it's not the Elder Wand that makes you all powerful, but it's the wizard,
for sure. And that's one of the things
he says. The wand chooses the wizard, right?
Exactly.
The Elder Wand is not like the wand that makes you all powerful. It's just the wand that chooses the most powerful wizard.
Well, that's the whole point here, right? Point number three is it going to choose Dumbledore because he's more powerful and he can defeat Grindelwald in, you know, without casting a killing curse or something? Like, you know, it has to choose one or the other.
Yeah.
Right? Does love play a factor at all in its choosing, right?
Yeah.
Does it, or not? Does it make an individual weaker because they love and have feelings for each other and they don't cast certain spells and curses or whatever? But you're right. It's the wand choosing the wizard. And are they just choosing on power alone?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
But I think the Elder Wand does nothing to really enhance your powers. Or very little.
Well, sorry. No, I think when you go look up, the Elder Wand, it does say that you can't, it does perform extra extraordinary magic. Mm-hmm. And so, but its allegiance is with the strongest wizard, which makes it even more magnificent, right? So it's right. It's as coveted and sought. Otherwise, it wouldn't be a coveted and sought item.
Yeah.
If it did nothing to enhance your abilities.
Well, it could be the placebo effect, right? People just once
could be.
Said, yeah. Oh, this is a powerful wand. And that also makes your opponent think, uh-oh, this person has the Elder Wand. And already right. makes
it's,
you
I don't think
have
it's,
more respect for that person.
Yeah, I don't think it's like, I think there are wands. So there's also theories, I love this theory, that there is, that the Elder Wand has a brother. So there are theories that you can make wands that are maybe more powerful or extra different or better or what have you. So I think it's, you know, somewhat interesting. But yeah, I agree. So, okay, moving on to number four. Tina Goldstein is the master of the Elder Wand. And the idea here is that in the first movie, we actually see her used Accio to summon the wand from Gellert Grindelwald. And, you know, at the same... So this is a tricky one because really you have Gellert is defeated by... He's defeated by the Swooping Evil. He's not actually defeated by Newt. He's defeated by the Swooping Evil. You could say, well, Newt sort of charged the Swooping Evil with, like, arresting him, and okay, so is Newt then did Newt defeat Grindelwald? Well, does that mean that, like, or is the I'll go ahead and ask the big question, is the Swooping Evil the master of the Elder Wand?
The same question you could ask with Voldemort using Nagini to kill Snape, because he thought Snape was the master, right? So why would he use Nagini to kill Snape if then Nagini is actually more likely to be the master because she once was a human?
That's true. That's a really good point. Yeah, like it seems really stupid that he, and I remember that in that situation, he did not want to cast any curse at Snape because he felt like that curse would rebound and it would not strike its own master. So that's why he uses Nagini.
Because the allegiance is not clearly with Voldemort between these two, because Snape is so powerful.
Yeah, it could be. Yeah, and he also thought that Snape was the master.
Yeah.
Right? So he thought that Snape was the master. Bless you.
I'm so sorry.
Guys, some real live action there. I'm just doing these no edit because I'm making my life easier. But anyways, I agree with you. I think it's kind of interesting that that's how this breaks down with Tina, Newt, the Swooping Evil. She does summon it. People are like, well, she didn't disarm him with Expelliarmus. She actually summoned the
wand.
It's
almost like stealing it.
Yeah, almost like stealing it, right? So I thought what would be interesting is if later on, if Dumbledore was analyzing the events and he was talking to Newt, and he's like, well, at one point, you know, Tina, you know, she defeated Grindelwald, or we defeated him, and she actually got the wand. And Dumbledore's like, wait, what? You know, and then he figures out, like, Tina is the actual master of the Elder Wand, because Draco didn't know. Draco had no idea that he was the master of the Elder Wand, right? So Tina or Newt or somebody else could be laying there in hiding.
Yeah.
And it could be that Grindelwald is just so arrogant and so powerful that he's just like, well, I'm just been using the wand and it seems to kind of continue to work for him. But I wonder if he, like sort of Voldemort, realizes it's not anything extra special, or if he, you know, if he's too busy and consumed to notice like a downgrade in terms of magic because he's not the true owner. I don't know. But the idea here is that really the movie sets it up in a way that no Witcher wizard actually disarms or beats Gellert. Yeah. It looks like it's the Swooping Evil. But back to your point, I don't think that works, and I think Voldemort, it wouldn't have worked. Had Snape even have been the master of the Elder Wand, Nagini killing Snape doesn't work. That's just not how it...
So, do you think Voldemort would be the owner? Would have been the owner?
Yeah, I think... No, I think he would not have been, because...
So, it would have just died with Snape, the allegiance?
Great.
Well,
because that's what Dumbledore's plan was for... Yeah. He wanted himself to be the last owner of it.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours.
Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Right, and I think the wand has different intentions. Yeah, it doesn't want its life to be over. It wants to continue on, showing all of its prestige and all of its glory and all of its power. So it was like, hey, you want to die? Fine. I'm going to go with this guy. It does sort of seem like it's going to choose its own path a little bit there. So, okay, now one I don't think people have heard a lot, but what do you think on that, by the way, in terms of like believability? Would that factor in more like a 5 out of 10, 6 out of 10, or would that be, again, less likely?
I actually, when we first discovered that idea that Tina could be the master of the Elder Wand, surprisingly, I thought it was a cool idea.
Yeah.
But I also try to remember after that the second movie, they have like a standoff against Grindelwald. Does any of them attack him directly?
I don't think so.
Where you could get hints, okay, this is not working against Tina or Newt.
And he's definitely not defeated in any way, because he actually leaves the movie completely fine. He takes credence and he creates the blue flames and he's just like, bye. And he goes and does his thing. So nobody defeats him in that movie. So
yeah. I like the idea, but could it play a role in the end for the duel? Let's say it's 6 out of 10.
6 out of 10. A little bit better. Okay. All right, cool. Now, moving on here. This would be crazy. This would be kind of like a Grigorovich moment, but this would be, because this would be like way back during the acquiring of the Elder Wand. It would be like that Grindelwald has the Elder Wand for years and doesn't realize that he's not really the master. So number 5 is that Ariana Dumbledore was momentarily the master of the Elder Wand. And as I said in the theory, this is sad because the idea here is that there's a blood pact between, and it's clearly the blood pact was created prior to the three-way duel. So you have Aberforth dueling Grindelwald and Dumbledore, or Albus Dumbledore is there. Ariana Dumbledore comes down the stairs and is like, oh my god, you're beating up my brother Aberforth, who I love. Her obscurial goes crazy and it just sort of throws the duel into chaos. But her obscurial could have disarmed Grindelwald or defeated him in some way to protect Aberforth. And that's why she would be unleashing that sort of rage and anger at him.
Yeah.
And that then could momentarily have made her the master of the Outer Wand. And maybe at the same time, as I said, simultaneously, Dumbledore then casts some sort of curse at Grindelwald that is ricocheted and hits her. Yeah. And all of that. Why would it ricochet? Well, because of the blood pact. Now, some people will say the blood pact, it seems like if Dumbledore would have done that, that he would have been dead. Because it does seem like it's something that is trying to, like, it would kill him, you know, for example. Like, we see it wrap around his arm in the movie, and it acts like it's going to destroy him if he even thought about it. Right. So, but it doesn't mean that he couldn't cast a spell, his arm cripple like that, and it divert or ricochet a spell in the wrong direction. And that's clearly why, I mean, these are some of the most talented wizards in the world.
Right.
So to have his spell misfire and hit his sister and kill her. Somebody cast Avada Kedavra, and it could have been Dumbledore.
Yeah.
That's the craziest thing, the one time. We don't know.
We don't know if he cast AK, though.
No, we don't, but I'm just saying that
could have been another spell that, you know, Sectum Sempra kills people.
Yeah. Could have been something. Could have been. But it's just a crazy, crazy situation. And the idea would be that she then is the master of the Outer Wand, and then he became master by accidentally killing her. It would be super tragic. It would be super ironic. It would be they wouldn't think about it a lot because this is something Dumbledore tries to avoid in thought. He doesn't want to think about the actual things that play out there. And so, you know, wow, cool. There we go. We're getting a phone call from who knows? No idea. Shut her down. Decline.
This is real life recording.
This is real life recording, people. And it's like coming up on my Mac. What is wrong with people? Okay. But yeah, the idea there I think is interesting. It's something I'd never thought about. Now, some people would argue that did he have the Elder Wand when he went to Godric's Hollow to meet Dumbledore? Some people say that he doesn't have it. I would say that he does. I actually think that when he goes to meet Dumbledore, one of the ideas is that they want to become the Masters of Death and they are obsessed with the Deathly Hallows.
Yeah.
You could say that that obsession started there and then he went and got the wand, which would probably I'm not going to say it makes more sense, but it would probably be what the author's going to do, is that like afterwards he leaves and says, okay, I need to go acquire the Elder Wand from Grigorovich. But It's also possible that he acquired it and didn't want to be a suspect and said, I'm a bounce. I'm going to go see my great aunt, Bathilda. I'm going to get out of town for a while, lay low, and I'm obsessed with this. I don't think he told Dumbledore at the time that he was the master of the Outer Wand. I think he just was.
Yeah.
It was one of the secrets. He's sort of holding it there and like, okay, Leia, let's acquire these Hallows. He's kind of cool. Dumbledore, you go get the other ones if you want, but this one's mine.
Yeah.
You know, the Outer Wand's mine. And he would have been maybe wanting to kind of look into the Peverell brothers and be fascinated with it. So I could go either way. I'm not really sure if he did actually have the Outer Wand when the duel took place or if it was later. And the wiki doesn't say one way or the other. We actually don't know when he acquires it, to be honest with you. So
yeah.
Okay. So,
you want to know?
Likelihood. Yeah. What are you thinking?
In the duel that they later have.
Yeah.
Would this be him? So that would make Dumbledore the
master
the whole time.
Exactly. Yep. Could that be the case?
I mean, I think it's kind of cool to reveal what happened in the duel with Ariana, but at the same time,
it would spoil the duel.
I feel like the future Dumbledore in the Harry Potter series still is not 100% sure.
Yes,
if it was
right.
him or not.
Right.
So I would say that makes the likelihood very small.
Yeah, very unlikely.
I really like the theory. That's not the thing.
Yeah, yeah.
I just think it's not very likely that this is the case. Yeah.
Yeah. Again, when you ask me which one of these is the most likely, I'll tell you. It's been none of these so far.
Yeah, it's like one or two now because,
You make these because, you want to consider all the different factors that might play into this duel. And this is one of the factors that could, you know, theoretically play a factor. So, I don't think it very likely either. I'm with you on that, you know, two or three or something. So,
ooh, I like the next one though.
Yeah. Number six here. So the Outer Wand betrayed Grindelwald for someone more powerful. And this one I kind of say is probably the most likely. This is probably the best or second best version of what actually does happen. So we'll get into, what the wiki what it kind of says. I don't know if I have it here yet or not, but the wiki essentially says that, or I think it was even a Pottermore article or something back in the day, where they talk about the loyalty. The article goes on to state that the Outer Wand knows no loyalty except to strength, so it's completely unsentimental. It only goes where the power is. So the Outer Wand is a good judge of power, right? It can sense that another wizard's power level is here and this one's there, and if it's close, it might just step aside and say, you know what, you guys duke it out on skill alone, and I'm going to pick the winner and go with that person. Or it might actually betray Grindelwald in the moment and sense that Albus is more powerful. And now that without the blood pack, he can actually openly go against him with all of his power. And so it may be like, wow, that is the guy I'm going to go with. And so the Elder Wand is just basically going to betray Grindelwald for Dumbledore. Because the actual article that I reference, it goes on to say, you know, it actually references the whole premise behind this idea is like, I swear to you, go look this up. It's awesome. It's an awesome article where they talk about how did Dumbledore defeat Grindelwald when he is the master of the Outer Wand? The whole article is literally about that. And basically J.K. Rowling comes out and kind of says that they don't say one way or the other. They just say that the wand is very kind of fickle and it does go where power is straight up. So this could be just a power on power battle. And I think this is more of this is more likely. So I would say this is up in the, you know, above six. This is like a seven or an eight out of 10 for me. So
yeah, this goes back to what we've been saying, that the Elder Wand itself, especially if you're so close in your power levels, it doesn't really help that much. Even though you think, okay, it enhances your powers, but the Elder Wand, if we're just assuming it's a sentient being and it thinks to itself, okay, I could enhance this wizard's power, but if I would enhance Mr. Dumbledore's power,
yeah,
that would be the greatest power.
That'd be,
the most powerful wizard I could be with.
Top dog right there.
So does he, but then does he stop enhancing Grindelwald's powers in that moment, do you think? If once he changed his mind?
Yes. Yeah, it does. I absolutely, because that's the thing.
Because
they can
it could make you weaker.
Yes, for
sure. If you're close in power levels, it could even if you're not,
I think
it makes you weaker instead
I think so too. And I think that's the whole treachery behind it. I think that it maybe turns against Grindelwald. And if I were him, I'd cast it aside and pull out my own wand.
Does the Elder Wand make you weaker?
Could it? I mean, because if it does turn on him in battle, I mean, that's an interesting thing. I think you do need to actually have the wand in hand to use it, to magnify and enhance your magic. You don't need to possess it to be its owner, right? We don't need the actual physical, because Harry does not, he never touches it until the very end.
Or Draco never touched but it, was the owner.
And he's not getting specially enhanced magic from that other wand that he's borrowing.
No.
You need to have the other wand in hand. So if you're Grindelwald and you're using the other wand to duel Dumbledore and it switches allegiance on you mid-duel, I would toss that puppy aside. I would pull out my old wand and say, all right, fine, let's go. You know what I mean? I'm not going to be influenced, or I'm not going to have that wand be playing a factor in whether or not I win or lose this duel, right? Because if it stops performing, if it doesn't, it'll still perform. But as we saw in the film, this is a film theory, it starts to crack on Voldemort because it's being used against its will, right? So that, I would say, cast it aside, pull out your old wand from back when you're at Durmstrang and go to town.
Yeah.
You know? And then, again, though, that wand is probably like, you haven't used me in years. What's wrong with you? I don't mind. I'm just kidding. But what do you think? So you think fairly likely?
Well, I have. So if it's true that the Elder Wand can mid-duel, can say, oh, this guy's stronger, and that would be, I mean, that would be huge. The Elder Wand would actually, I feel like people would have figured that out, right? That it actually would make you weaker, because then you can.
Not many people study this thing.
Mm-hmm.
This thing is a.
But if that's true, that could be very well the reason, because it mirrors what happened in the last Fantastic Beasts movie, where the Chilin this time was the one who chooses the wizard, right? Not the wizard, and not the wand, and it chose Dumbledore over Grindelwald, even though Grindelwald tried to make it choose him.
Yes. Yeah.
And that didn't work out. So he forcefully tries the Elder Wand. It's different. We don't know exactly if it works like the Chilin magic, right? So if we say it does, I think it's pretty likely, like a 7.
Yeah, yeah. I like that. Okay.
Yeah, if I think it's, like, if that's not the case, though, then it's, you know.
It's okay, yeah.
Obviously not very likely, so.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. You mean if you don't think it's the case that the wand can do that? Yeah.
Yeah.
And the whole point is that the article kind of backs up the idea that the Elder Wand knows no loyalty except strength. Mm-hmm. So it's completely unsentimental. It only goes.
Yeah, which is bad. Like, don't you want your own wand who's loyal to you, who works with you? So the Elder Wand's kind of crap.
So if it's loyal, exactly. If it's loyal to power and it sees another powerful wizard, it's like, oh, okay. So yeah, you're almost like you want to duel. But it does enhance you, I think, when it's close. And there are wizards, let's say you have a normal wand, you know, and you have two powerful wizards who are both 9s out of 10s, right? And it's that close. The Elder Wand, I think, gives you the advantage.
Right,
and
okay,
I think it would probably stay with that 9 out of 10 wizard that it's with, and it maybe just keeps doing its thing. But when it's significantly, like the other person is a 10 out of 10 and you're a 9 out of 10, and it can clearly tell there's a power advantage, I think that's when it says, hey, we're done. Our little relationship is over.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Okay, moving on. Number 7. We got 3 more real quick here. Number 7, the 12 uses of dragon's blood. Now, this one was probably crazy. You guys probably thought this was a little bit nuts, but I do think it is interesting. I think this is what Dumbledore is known for, is the defeat of Gellert Grindelwald, the discovery of the 12 uses of dragon's blood, and his work with the famed alchemist Nicholas Flamel. So these are the three things that he's known for. We're talking about the defeat of Gellert Grindelwald, and I believe that there's a factor in terms of either how the duel is set up or what dragon's blood could do to either, one, enhance a person, or two, enhance their wand, or just there is something mysterious about it. J.K. Rowling will not tell the Wizarding World what it is. We only know one or two of the different uses. And to me, the timing of it seems kind of suspicious. It seems to kind of parallel this, like, lead up into what would be a World War II climax during that time. And I go on to kind of make the case that the Manhattan Project and nuclear power and energy and atomic bombs, whatever, that all is going on in the Muggle world. And there is the parallel would be researching the most powerful, you know, magical beast in the Wizarding world, which would be the dragon. So, and it's the 12 uses of dragon's blood would be a top secret thing that either Grindelwald, I think it might be the thing that where it's a race to try to figure it out, or it's sort of like, because that's what other countries were doing in World War II. They're trying to figure out, like, you know, how to get to that ultimate power level, or how to get that ultimate weapon. And Dumbledore is like, look, this is bad. This is, we shouldn't use this at all. No one should use this.
Yeah.
And if Grindelwald gets to it, that's a problem. We know he's trying to. I'm actually going to go face him down now. And I might even have to use a bit of this knowledge that I've learned from Dragon's Blood.
Yeah.
Because he's famous for it. He's famous for learning the 12 uses of it. And I just think, like, okay, there could be something to that. He sends Newt over to America. They talk about the shavings from the horned serpent in America and how its shavings are used as wand cores. There's a jewel on this dragon's head that has the power of invisibility and flight. Is that more invisible than the invisibility cloak? Like, what kind of invisibility powers are we talking about? The power of flight? Okay, that's pretty sick. So there's just a couple things that are mentioned around dragons and their power and the 12 uses of dragon's blood that are a mystery. And I think it's likely, to me, I think it's likely that they'll play a factor into either the duel starting, how it starts, the context, or how the result of the duel. I think maybe less likely in terms of the result of the duel, but definitely more in terms of, like, what causes them to go fight one another, possibly. So what do you think? Be harsh. It's fine.
I like this theory a lot. And you know why?
Why?
Because that, everything you said there, that's exactly the kind of thing that a Dumbledore, an Albus Dumbledore would do.
Okay.
Right? To send Newt to train this young prodigy with fantastic beasts.
Yeah.
Up to help him. Like, not that Dumbledore always uses people to do things, but like that would be exactly the kind of thing in the long run that he already has in mind, that this guy could help him with the dragon's blood.
Yep.
Plus, we know that his good friend Nicholas Flamel plays a role in one of the movies as well. I wouldn't be surprised if he comes back to that, because he and Flamel, they together discovered, right? They were...
Yeah, they worked on it
as
too,
a team, discovered the uses of dragon's blood, I think.
Yep.
So why not have it all come together? And like you said, the big thing with Voldemort was underestimating.
Yeah.
You know, like...
the small things. Like magical beast or fantastic beast and creatures, right?
And so does Grindelwald. It would be a great way to teach them about how beasts can make the difference.
Yeah, and which
that we
is
shouldn't
ironic.
Underestimate them, and the whole wizard supremacy is a whole. It's a thing that throughout history you can see that they've been struggling with that. Right? They think, okay, wizards are the racist of all races, the top creation almost.
Yep.
Which this is trying to teach us. No, we're all together in this world, and we're all work together, and.
Right.
I think that would be a great way to, like you said, I think I would rate it at a 9 out of 10, because I don't think it's the one final thing alone that could decide a battle, but I think it could definitely play a huge role combined with something else that would give Dumbledore the advantage in the end.
Yeah, give him the advantage and even
so maybe, I like that a lot.
Yeah, be the setup to kind of like the context surrounding this duel a little bit. So
yeah.
Yeah, cool beans. So I don't know. Let me know on this one what you guys think. It's a little bit crazy. It's definitely one of those.
Yeah, we don't know what is the use. What are the uses and how can they help in battle? But I think that's a cool surprise element.
Yeah, and it's really even the surprise in terms of like what would be a coveted thing that would force these two individuals to go toe to toe and have this climactic sort of battle. Would it be defending this great power from this evil wizard, or maybe Grindelwald gets it and Dumbledore's like, I know how to stop him because I understand all 12 of the uses and I can actually go do whatever. So, you know, it's just it's something that I think will play a factor, and it's just sort of out of left field. You kind of have to just straight spitball it and speculate about it. And it's, you know, there's really nothing, there's no like actual evidence in the text either way or
no,
in the movies.
But there
that
are clues
to,
like,
yeah.
I mean, the Phoenix is a fire being, right? The Phoenixes and the Dumbledores, and so are dragons.
And Newt going to America, the horned serpent, investigating that, him being a part of the Dragon Research and Restraint Bureau during World War I, being a part of the Ukrainian Iron Belly unit, right? So Newt is that guy who has experience there. Dumbledore is researching it. We need to know about it. It's sort of these when you look at atomic power and energy early on, like well before they ever go through with the Manhattan Project, people are just theorizing about it. Yeah. They're spitballing, speculating. Theories are kind of growing. And then all of a sudden, the military minds come in and say, we could make good use of this. And then the other minds, the institutional minds or the academic minds are like, that's crazy. That's terrible power. Why would you? What we're just theorizing about it. And they almost feel sort of a burden to like either help or stop or whatever, be a part of and work from the inside out on like how this power is used. So I wouldn't be surprised if some of that does sort of play into our story with Grindelwald and Dumbledore. Yeah. Okay, two more here, almost done. So we have number 8, The Lie and the Surrender. And as I said, this kind of plays into Rita Skeeter is the individual who basically says people may be surprised that at the end of the day, Grindelwald may have just surrendered. He may have actually said, you win. Dumbledore, you win. And what would cause him to do that? Was it just self-preservation? Doesn't want to be destroyed completely? Is it because of dragon's blood and there's some crazy power that Dumbledore has? Is it because of the allegiance of the Elder Wand? Did it switch and he said, okay, cool, I'm out of a wand, so I need to just kind of move on? I don't know. I think it's interesting that she does bring this up, and she does tell some truths at some point. She also lies and exaggerates, you know, typically in a negative way. But she says, hey, after people have read my book, they may be forced to conclude that Grindelwald simply conjured a white handkerchief from the end of his wand and came quietly. So when you take that and you hear her say that, that's in her mind, she has insider information. And we know she can get that because she's an unregistered animagus, and she's in the form of a little beetle, right? And she can just be sitting in on the wall and listen to this conversation. That's wild. I mean, she can use that to so many different advantages, right? So it is very likely that she could have some true inside information in terms of like what happened during that that duel. So I guess this is it's more of an idea about what happened, and that when you think about if her conclusion is true that he did just surrender, do we think that's likely? That's the part I want to ask you about likelihood. Is it likely that Grindelwald did just surrender? And then you can get into like why maybe he would have surrendered. But do you think it's likely that he just surrendered and it's not this grand epic duel? Did anybody see it? I mean, did he just come back to the ministry with him in handcuffs and say, here he is, I got him, I went and dueled him? And did anybody see it? You know, I mean, what's his name? Daedalus, what's his name? Doge. Doge. So Doge is basically like, you know, he calls it this legendary duel, and as if people could watch it from afar, and it was just this crazy thing. So I don't really know. I just think it's interesting that she brings this up as a point to kind of consider. So she does say that Dumbledore had brains, right? But she questions whether Dumbledore actually even truthfully acquired the 12 uses of dragon's blood. She said like he stole that idea from somebody else too. So who knows? I mean, I have no idea. Do you think it's likely though that Grindelwald just surrendered?
Well, there had to be a reason why they didn't fight to the death, and why Grindelwald would come, like, would be locked up, right?
Yeah.
Would Grindelwald not rather be killed instead of being locked up for life?
Yeah.
I don't know. You know, like, what makes him, how do they confine him or stop him from defending himself and get him to what's called Normangart?
Yeah, yeah.
Right? So there is a little bit of a question mark, how that all went down and why he wasn't, they didn't have to kill him. But it's also not what Dumbledore wants to do. We know that.
Yep. I don't think he's in favor of casting.
But I do not think he just surrendered. Yeah, that would, I don't know, that wouldn't make for a good climax, and that unless there's a really, really good reason and some sort of surprise. So, yeah, I don't think that's very likely.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I would, I kind of agree with you. I think there was at least some form of duel and some sort of conflict, and then there might be a reason why he surrendered at the very end.
So maybe it's a,
you know, but
3-4.
Yeah. Yeah. The way she kind of frames it is that it's just a complete like, hey, this, you know, this is, you guys are over dramatizing it. It really wasn't that great. It was pretty lame. And I don't think it was lame. I think it wouldn't be on the back of his chocolate frog card if it wasn't a big freaking deal.
Right.
Okay. So now last one here, number 9, an unexpected intervention. This is my Hagrid theory. This is the theory that Hagrid is a half giant and he has giant's blood and he can take several stunning spells, and that Dumbledore basically says at one point that, you know, I would trust Hagrid with my life. And the rest of the series were wondering, okay, You know, like, he does trust Hagrid for sure, but does he ever, like, put his life in Hagrid's hands again? No, we really don't see that. We actually see him put his hands, his life in the hands of Severus Snape, which is sort of ironic. We're like, wait, what about Hagrid? You know, like, well, Hagrid can't really do what I need him to do.
No, that's true.
I love Hagrid and I can trust him for sure, but why would he have that level of trust? Why would he? So my bigger theory here is, I think that at some point, whether it was the duel or not, I kind of say at the end of this, I don't know if it's kind of a big moment to say Hagrid intervened in the duel in some way, or like said, no, you know, like Dumbledore's back is turned, or there's a moment where his guard is down and Grindelwald actually, you know, does cast some sort of spell that would have maybe not killed Dumbledore, but would have bound him or disarmed him or would have immobilized him in some way. And Hagrid took that spell in the back. Or full on, right? Because, and then and it's unexpected, and it's this surprise intervention that takes place. And this is sort of why it's an unknown thing. Maybe Hagrid was not where he was supposed to be. Maybe Hagrid was in big trouble again and wasn't supposed to be at this secret facility where they're studying dragon's blood. And, you know, he gets in the way. People probably think I'm crazy right now because I'm just spitballing because there's nothing out there. We don't know.
Right,
we have clue. Yeah. We have no clue what happened. We don't know where the duel takes place. We have no idea how long it was. We don't know anything about it. But I do think it'll be interesting because Hagrid's interested in dragon's blood. He's interested in dragons, for sure. I should say that first. Interested in Fantastic Beasts.
Yeah.
He is loyal to Dumbledore because he's expelled. And Newt Scamander also was expelled, and he's loyal to Dumbledore. He even says at the end of the last movie, if you ever need me again, I'm there. You can count on me.
Because he's a puff.
He's a puff, and he's staying. He's loyal, right? And Hagrid's the same way, and Hagrid has that bravery element, right? That Gryffindor in him. So I could see him rushing forward where he has no place whatsoever and being kind of like this stupid boy that is underestimated by Grindelwald and doesn't play a factor into this duel whatsoever. And all of a sudden, like, wait, how did that work? And does his sacrifice or his intention to die then cast some protection over Dumbledore that Dumbledore's like, well, I can't do anything now, can you? You know, it's going too far because Lottie's like, well, you know, he doesn't actually... He can't survive a killing curse, right? And I'm like, I don't know. I mean, I don't know. Can he? Can he not? You know, I guess not. But because it would take a lot. I think it takes an extra strong killing curse. I think you have to really, really mean.
Right.
You want to kill a half giant. I don't think you can just Avada Kedavra
especially if your Avada Kedavra is like half sure in the first place when you pointed at Dumbledore, who you actually kind of love and don't want to kill,
right?
So it's like
There's a gray area and so if the ancient love power and protection enchantment does work and Harry cast it, I mean, you know, Harry intended to die in the Forbidden Forest. He does face Avada Kedavra, and so he is tethered to life by Voldemort. His protection is cast over all of his friends, specifically against Voldemort. Not the other Death Eaters, but specifically against Voldemort and him trying to hurt them, right? He can still bind, you know, them, but the binding doesn't hold, and the spell work doesn't seem to hold. And so it could be that we see something similar to that in terms of Hagrid rushing in there where he had no place. And the only reason I think Hagrid would be there is because, you know, he maybe needs somebody else to ride a dragon, or they need to like go somewhere and like he needs to keep a dragon chill, or he just noses in, or he's on some secret mission with Newt and he's Newt's kind of sidekick for a little bit and they're doing something. I don't know. This is all spitball and absolute straight speculation. I just love the idea that when Galadriel is sort of asking when she's asking Gandalf, like, why Bilbo? And it's just so cool that he kind of talks about how Bilbo gives him hope and strength and how it's the small things, good deeds and small acts of kindness that keep the darkness at bay. And to have this huge duel be what we think is going to be a big power-on-power play, and it turns out that it might actually be somebody else just rushing in there, some self-sacrifice or some smaller deed or some other acts of kindness that really set up Dumbledore to be in this moment, just to have some unexpected intervention. I don't know. So, crazy. What do you think? Sorry.
Wow, I just looked at the whole timeline thing again, and like you said, it's 2 years. The duel is 2 years after Hagrid was expelled, a.k.a.
Hagrid's
Tom Riddle is already at school and figuring some really scary, dark stuff out right now.
Yes.
Which, okay, first of all, likelihood of this Hagrid theory.
Yeah.
First, I want to say, love the idea, actually, of Hagrid being a part of this. Hagrid and Newt meeting each other. That's like, I want that to happen.
Right, 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 right.
It's for us to see. And also, like, Hagrid, then if you think about it, Hagrid was hugely involved with, like, the two darkest wizards of the last couple of centuries, right?
Yeah.
With both Grindelwald and Voldemort. But right. I think if that was actually the case, I think it would have been mentioned somewhere.
In the history.
Acknowledged somewhere. Yeah. He would have told Harry and Hermione and Ron somehow mm-hmm. at one point. Mm-hmm. So that's why I think it's more like a 5 or 6.
Yeah.
But I just got to think about the previous surrender theory. Looking at the timeline, we know that Grindelwald is a seer.
Yeah.
And this new guy is on the rise.
Right? Yep.
Do you think, okay, this is kind of like a new theory. Do you think Tom Riddle being there at school and what Dumbledore knows about him with Grindelwald's abilities to see the future and maybe, I don't know if you have to be, if he has to know Tom to see anything about his future, maybe.
You can see Dumbledore's
future. But there is definitely a connection. We know that there is a connection between Nagini.
Yeah.
Like Nagini previously being kind of loyal to Grindelwald a little bit and then maybe there is definitely some connection to Credence, aka
Aurelius
Dumbledore. Aurelius. And then Voldemort, she somehow has to become loyal. The biggest question of all is why did she become so loyal to mm-hmm. Voldemort and give in to that monster in her? And so what if that has something to do with Grindelwald's maybe surrender. Not direct surrender, but
yeah, he sees something.
Influenced him somehow.
Yeah. I get what you're
saying. Because the timelines are crossing, right? Tom Riddle's and Grindelwald's timeline are somehow, or at that moment, intertwined. Even though we think the first time they ever meet is in Normangar.
Years
is
that later. That's it.
The
that's
prison. The
yeah. Yep. Yeah.
So, I'm not sure, but I would love to see some sort of
duel between them?
Yeah, or not duel between, like, Voldemort and Grindelwald, but that Tom Riddle does play
some sort of connection.
A role, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I gotcha. Yeah, I think, though, the idea is that what you're kind of getting to is the idea that there's some sort of vision, maybe, that he sees, foresees another dark wizard rising, and like, he sees, he can see his good friend, who he does, you know, still kind of care about a little bit, Albus mm-hmm. Dumbledore, and sees a vision of him facing down a darker threat than even himself.
Yeah.
And knowing that he needs to be there. Otherwise, the world maybe could go.
I don't think he has the heart to do, like, you know, the goodness in him to say, okay, I got to step down.
Yeah, no. Maybe not. I'm not saying it's that full bore, but I mean, it could, like, just influences mm-hmm. and little, you know, tidbits that might be affecting him or kind of, just influencing his overall vision and stuff. I don't know. Yeah, because the fact that he's a seer is, I think, very interesting. And how do you beat that, too? How do you beat somebody who's a seer and their master of the Outer Wand, and now they can openly go against each other? It's just, I mean, they definitely did, right? They had to actually do that very thing, and they had to work against his ability to see the future.
Yeah.
So it's nuts. Anyway, I don't know. It's, you know, crazy. There's 9 theories, different thoughts and stuff, just about different factors that might play a role in the Grindelwald versus Dumbledore duel. And I think some are less likely, some are more likely. But the idea is, what is every little tidbit that might play a factor? If we miss one, if there's like 5 other things that you guys are like, hey, this actually plays a way bigger factor than any of those things that you mentioned, please send us an owl. I would love to hear that, and I'd love to break that down, make a video out of it or something, give you some cred, and just talk about it on the podcast, because I do think this duel is fascinating. I think there's a lot of cool magical elements that make it more fascinating. I think it's not just a straight duel. There's a wand involved, and there's this relationship and romance, and then there's possibly other interventions, and there's the fact that he's a seer, and this, you know,
beast
and whatnot. It could be absolutely crazy, and it has to be more interesting than just sort of a duel on duel. I mean, maybe not, but I don't know. Yeah. Okay, I've rambled on. Running out of, I need like water, I think. So
Those were some really interesting theories, and especially like by discussing them in greater detail, I understand them more and more. And
yeah,
I think we are probably like, it's somewhere in between these. Some of them have probably some truth to it and play a role, and you know, more than others. And I think I think, and I hope we will find out one day.
I know. The biggest thing is I hope they actually will go forward either with a movie. Maybe they wrap up the Fantastic Beasts idea and they say, okay, let's just finish with two more movies or one big movie that kind of breaks down what happened in the duel. Mm-hmm. And J.K. Rowling gets her thoughts out and kind of shares some of this her cleverness, I think, around this whole idea, because I'm sure she does have ideas and she wants to control it.
Oh, I'm sure they have their summary written scripts for the end of Fantastic Beasts.
Right.
She knows what happened.
Yeah, exactly. And she's thought about these different things. So we're just spitballing and speculating. But I do hope we get to see it one day. And we do know that on the horizon is the TV show, and maybe they're all going to just sort of stop that and then go forward with a TV show verse where everything they do is then in show format. And they do the Marauders. Maybe they go back and do some of the Fantastic Beasts stuff. Because if you're redoing the main series, you might as well redo the other thing that you're doing. You know, whatever. I mean, I don't know how you guys feel about that, but they might do that. So, okay, enough of rambling for me. Thank you guys for listening, and thanks for understanding sort of our schedule and, you know, where Lottie's at in the world right now, and kind of she's right here, but she's also not going to be here when this comes out. And so, yeah, we'll be back to our regular programming here in a week or two. We'll see when this drops exactly, but fall's going to be a little bit crazy, so appreciate you guys. Again, write to us, leave a review, all that good stuff. Means the world. I love doing this podcast with Lottie, and I love talking about Harry Potter and being in the wizarding world. And I just, it's so much fun and it's so fascinating. I'm enjoying my time on the YouTube channel, also coming up with theories and thoughts, and I hope to continue to keep growing that. It's just it's cool. It's just cool to be a part of the fandom and be a part of the community. You know, you guys are a part of that with us, and it's so awesome.
And together, like, on the one side, we're rereading the whole series, and then on the other side, we're highly anticipating the new show with you guys. So.
Right, right.
Can't wait.
Yeah. All right, friends. Hey, that is all for this week. Thanks for tuning in to Shell Cottage Radio 94.7 COZY. We hope that you will join us in the future. We do thoroughly enjoy meeting new positive Potter people that don't behave like babbling, bumbling bands of baboons. If you don't want to miss out on the next episode, then be sure to subscribe to our podcast and leave us a review and follow over on social media, Flora and Bill.
Wow. Not bad. And if you really, truly, from the bottom of your heart, enjoy our content, then consider supporting our growing wizarding family on Patreon or Apple Premium. You will find all the links down below. Thank you so much for supporting us. To all our current patrons, we love you and appreciate you. To Luna and back,
we love you guys. Thanks so much.
Thanks for joining us in our shell cottage today. We know it's not much, but it's home.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.